If you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we'll begin at verse 4. Before we read, let us go before God's throne of grace. Oh, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, break our hearts of stone and open our deaf ears to receive your word, to be transformed by your word. For your word is faithful and true. May we hear from you, Father. And quiet every voice in us but your own. Send forth your word into our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen carefully. This is God's holy, inspired, authoritative word. So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, we're picking up from last week where Abram gets called to go, and in this passage, he begins this journey of obedience. Terah, his father, had set out for Canaan, but he had settled in Haran. He didn't make it all the way. He didn't get to where he was going. He settled instead of reaching his goal. And I find that so often is this not the way of the experience of the Christian who sets off with an intention to do A, B, or C for the Lord, but gets distracted, or more to the point, gets comfortable where they are and stops pressing on. Abram is teaching us to keep pressing on. To not give up and to not get distracted, to press on in the race that God has set out for us in Christ Jesus. We need to guard against this as a congregation. There are always decisions in the life of the church. There have been decisions as long as this congregation has existed, most of which we don't even know about anymore, but they're decisions which we say, well, once we do that, once we do this, then we'll have arrived. But the problem is that the Christian life is a pilgrimage, it's a journey, and God is always calling us onward, never to be set totally in one place or one way of thinking other than in faithfulness and obedience to His Word. That doesn't change. But, and some of us here this morning probably thought that the key thing was transferring to a new denomination. That once we did that, we could sit back and God would just rain down His blessings on us and we could do nothing. Well, maybe he didn't think quite that extremely, but it's in the realm of thinking. And why do I think that? Because almost every church that made a change to a new denomination thinks this. It didn't take very long for you to figure out, though, that that wasn't God's will, to sit back and relax. It's actually the opposite. And those of us that have made that transition, and most of us in this room have done that, we were in a denomination that was dead and dying. I claim dead, but some would say dying. And that doesn't require much when you're dead. But if you're within a body that's on the move with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that requires something out of every single person. There's an expectation. And then we made that decision to change our name, and that was a similar type of thing some people might have imagined. If we changed our name, that all of a sudden God would just rain down His blessing and we could sit back in the spiritual lazy boy and enjoy it. How many decisions do we need to go through where we realize that God is actually calling us to pursue Him and to walk with Him and to suffer for, yes, even suffer for Him, to sacrifice for Him? This is always the case because it is the way of Christ. And so Abram is teaching us something about that. God tells Abram, leave. Leave your family's household, leave your people, leave your nation, leave. Now, what are we told in verse 4? So Abram, what? Went. It doesn't say Abram convened a prayer meeting. It doesn't say that he consulted a committee. It says that when God told him to do something, he did it. To delay would be disobedience. Abram does not delay. He is obedient. When he knows what God wants him to do, he does what God wants him to do. And there's too much conversation in the church about, I don't know what God wants me to do. And the only way that you could come to that conclusion is if you're not reading the Bible. Right? The Bible is full of what God wants you to do. Anyway, now, sometimes we can read it, but we're not taking it into our heart. We're reading it, but we're keeping it at bay. It's possible to read the Word of God from a distance and not take it in. You want to know what God wants you to do? Read His Word. It's as simple as that. Now, there are application issues with that. But when God says, love your neighbor, I'm pretty sure the person living next to you would count. Right? No matter who they are, that would count. So you're trying to figure out, who's my neighbor? Jesus talks about that, actually. It's more than just who lives next to you. But if you're having trouble figuring out who that is, it's the person living right next to you and right across the street from you. There are others, but it at least includes that. So God tells Abram, go, and he goes. And I think we miss the significance of this. I mentioned this a little bit last week, but when God calls him to leave, he doesn't tell him where he's going to go. And he calls him to actually leave his family. You know, you can imagine if I'd come over for a visit. I'd say, Ray, the Lord wants us to leave for His glory. And Ray'd say, well, where does He want us to leave to? And I say, I don't know, but we just need to go. You got to move away from your family. Your new bride, you're going to move away. Well, Abram takes Sarai, so, you know, maybe you could come along too. But, right? In all seriousness, if that's what was said, the reaction, I would not expect a positive reaction from you, and I think that's a sad commentary. Now, I'm not the Lord, and so there's a distinction there for sure, right? Not that any of you were under that illusion, so especially my family. So, we might expect Abram to say, hey, no. I mean, maybe we know this story well enough that we're not expecting that, but we should, because he's a human being. That the normal reaction from people is to say no to God, not yes to God. That's the normal reaction. The Spirit-inspired reaction is yes and obedience. But the normal reaction is no. So Abram goes, and he goes with no details. And this is a message especially to our elders. We can't figure out what all the next steps are. Sometimes you just got to go. You just got to do what you know God is calling you to do, and you're going to trust that He's going to work out the details. And this does not mean we should be lazy in planning, but it does mean that we don't know the future like He knows the future. We need to trust Him. And I want you to note how old Abram is. Because this call sounds like something for a 20-something. Right? I mean, this is what 20-somethings do. They get a new job and they move. But at 75, you don't get a new job and move. But in Christ, you do. Whatever faithfulness He calls you to, whatever age, at whatever time, at whatever the cost, our only response is to go. The only faithful, it's not let me think about this longer. There is a point in time for contemplation. But once it's clear, and it doesn't have to, clear doesn't mean you have all the details. It's clear God calls you to do, like love your neighbor this afternoon. Abram, I believe, teaches us that the covenant of grace produces a response at every age. A continual response to the goodness of God. If you're a Christian, one way you know if you're an authentic Christian is that your top priority is to glorify Him. Your top priority is to follow Him, to be obedient to Him. This is the way that Pastor Ligon Duncan puts it. He said, a covenant of grace requires covenant loyalty, which says God is my first priority. Not a priority, but my first priority. God is the one who sets the agenda for my priorities and for my preferences. And God is the one who, by His word, determines my decisions. This kind of covenant loyalty is seen clearly in the life of Abram. And we notice here that as Abram goes, he does not go by himself. This is not a Lone Ranger mission. The call of Christ is never to go it alone. And so he takes Lot, and he takes Sarai and some other people, and he takes a bunch of stuff, and he goes. And it is true for us as well that if we're a true church, then we go together. That doesn't mean that there's always someone from among us next to you, but we share the burden of evangelism and discipleship. We're called to be disciple makers. You are called, if you're a disciple, and you can't be a Christian unless you're a disciple. Okay, they're synonymous terms, but if you're a disciple, you're a disciple maker. And so we need to remember. And isn't it interesting that it says that they took their stuff? It seems almost unholy, doesn't it? Right? You're going to go and I need to make sure I take my comfort things. You know, I've got to have that coffee mug, that Xbox or whatever, the plasma TV. I'll go as long as I... That's not what they're taking with them. It says they take their stuff. They're taking the stuff they need to live on, right? They're moving to the Canadian border and they're taking their sleeping bag. And that's more along the lines of what they're taking. They're going to need something to cook with, and so they're taking some pots and pans. And they're going. We have set out. Each of us have set out on a journey with God, but we have not arrived yet. Some of us are stagnant. Some of us are slow moving. Some of us maybe are moving well. But we all must be moving. It is noted in this passage that this journey that God calls His people on comes with danger. In the text it says, it makes this notice that the Canaanites were in the land. Now that is bad news. I don't know what we equate that to in our culture about the Canaanites. Probably different people, different things. But it's a bad, bad thing that the Canaanites were in the land. Maybe it would be like God is calling us to reach the entire state of Wyoming, but the Canaanites or ISIS is in the land. Can you imagine thinking about that? That's what God's saying. ISIS is in the land. The jihadists are in the land. And God sends Abram right into the heart of the enemy. We don't have to go to where ISIS is, to be in the heart of the enemy. The world in our culture is the enemy. There is incredible hatred for God in our own community. And if you don't know that, you really ought to get out and experience that. There is vile hatred for God in our culture, in our Western culture. We'd almost have to be deaf not to see it, to some extent at least. So the mission seems impossible. I mean, you know, when Abram finds out there are Canaanites in the land, I think he knew this when he sets out, but I'm not sure because God doesn't exactly say where he's going. But when he finds that out, I could see him say, well, forget about this. This isn't what I agreed to. And for some of you who've been a Christian a long time, our culture isn't what you had agreed to. I mean, I am constantly reminded this is not the country I grew up as a child in. It isn't. It's a different country. It's radically different. And yet that doesn't mean God isn't calling us here. If you're here, He's called you here. He's called you to this community. He's called you to your neighborhood. And the church is to be a living sign of the promises of God. And so Abram, when he gets between Bethel and Ai, what does he do on this journey? He worships. He leads his family in worship. When he sets up an altar to the Lord, that is language of worship. In response to the call of God, as he goes, he worships God. And so too must you. So too must we. The sum of the Christian life isn't what you do on Sunday morning, but what you do on Sunday morning is critical to the Christian life. We've been created for the purpose of worshiping God. If you aren't actively worshiping God, you are not living in what God has created you to be and to do. It doesn't matter if you come and sit here. That doesn't mean you're worshiping God. Actively participating in the worship of God, which in part means listening to the preacher, whoever they may be. But it means singing. When we sing, it is disobedient not to sing when the church sings. I'm reminded at a conference several of us went to, with the Gettys who penned our communion hymn, I think, that we've been created to sing. We've been commanded to sing. And we are compelled to sing if we have been gripped by the gospel. There is no other thing that we could do. We must. Not as a burden, but it is a delight. It has nothing to do with the quality of your singing. Zero, zilch. There's no comment about that in the Bible. Sing to the Lord. We must be immersed in worship. We must understand that this time on the Lord's Day should be the high point of all of our weeks. Because it's the nearest we can come to what God has created us to do. And we should worship every Lord's Day. This isn't like I'm going to get 2 out of 4. This doesn't matter whether you're here or you're somewhere else. The priority on every Lord's Day should be to worship Him. It should be our delight. I think this is the one thing that we struggle with. We need to be evangelizing more so that our worship would be more energized. I remember when I first came to Christ, I could not wait for Sunday. I would be at work thinking about, I can't wait to see what the pastor's going to talk about next Sunday. I can't wait to sing to the Lord. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to receive His sacrament. And if that doesn't resonate with you, it's because we're not talking to unbelievers. It's because we're not seeing people come to faith. I mean, people thought I was weird. Well, I am, but not because of that. That should be the normative, even for us, if we've walked with Jesus. Ask God that He would rekindle your love for Him, to worship Him. That it would occur to you along the journey that you'd want to worship God. You would long to worship God. Abram is doing this all the time. And he's doing it with his family. We should be doing it with our families. I was convicted of that this week. In reading through this passage and watching the example of Abram and then attending this worship conference, there are so many things to distract us from family worship. In our household, it's a barrage of ridiculous TV shows. And we are in the process of repenting from that. That nothing will get in the way of family devotions. Nothing. Because there is nothing more important than that. And if you don't know what family devotions are, come talk to me. It's really simple. It's really simple. And it's really rare. And the rarer it becomes, the deader the church becomes. We heard at length at this worship conference about that. And as you sense the room, you sense that the presenter was presenting a foreign topic that no one knew what he was talking about. Pastors didn't know what he was talking about. And I had grown cold to what he was talking about. The great thing with God is every day is a new day. Every day is a day to follow Him. All of this going that God calls us to, all of the going that God called Abram to, points us to Christ, doesn't it? I mean, who in the universe went more dramatically than the Son of God? who vacated heaven and came down to earth and literally walked the earth on a journey for the glory of his Father and for the redemption of his people. To be journeying with God is to do what Christ did. Christ sends his people that we would be a going people. We would be a worshiping people. We would be a going people. And as much as this passage is about going, still the core of the work of the people of God is worship. Worship fuels our missionary endeavors that God puts on each one of us. So as we approach the table of the Lord, we don't take a break from worship to do that. Partaking of the sacrament is worship. It's an act of worship, and we should approach it as such, or we do not approach it rightly, and we don't, frankly, approach God rightly then. And we certainly don't approach him profitably. This is an act of worship. This is why we call you to get up out of your seat and move. Right? An act of worship involves physical movement. And as you come down this aisle, understand that this is an act of worship. And the taking of the sacrament, while being a reminder of the cross, and it is that, it tends to be almost the single thing that Protestants think about, but it is also a conveyor of the grace of God for the living out of our lives in worship before him. God dispenses his grace through his appointed signs and sacraments. And so when we come to the table this morning, we come before and in the presence of Almighty God. Worship is an encounter with the living, present, and powerful God. To the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.